Javi Baez almost on cue. Hit one to the wall. Mike Trout jumps up and grabs one in the Wrigley Ivy. It was like almost like a perfect introduction for Sam Panjanovich, who is in studio with me here on WGN Radio Sports. We're going to talk about the Cubs' surge, the sixth surge. That'd be a good name for a movie. And also a little bit about the Bears who are playing the Broncos tomorrow. Sam, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
So let's first talk about this. You've been covering, I mean, they're surprisingly all season long, Joe Maddon has avoided the drama. Now, this isn't that big of a dramatic story.
Not at all.
But Tommy La Stella really does not want to go back to the minors.
So here's what happened. All right, Tommy La Stella gets sent down to AAA Iowa on the 29th of July. So right now it's the 10th of August, and you have 10 days to report. When your boss tells you to go somewhere, usually you go somewhere. You get that 10-day grace period. La Stella didn't show up to Iowa. And people are wondering, where is he?
Right.
Because you're supposed to be there. So
right.
The AAA Iowa writers are saying, he's not here. He's not here. Where is he? Turns out, and Jesse Rogers from ESPN broke the story yesterday, give credit where credit's due, he talked to La Stella, and La Stella said that he's only going to play baseball again for the Cubs.
He's not going to Iowa,
and he's not playing anywhere else.
So he's like, I'm either playing at Wrigley Field on the Major League squad, or I'm not playing at all.
I'm either playing for the World Series favorite, or I will never play again.
Was he 48 years old?
He's 27 years old, but here's the key. And Pete, you know all about Tommy La Stella. This is a fifth infielder. This is a utility guy. This is a left-handed pinch hitter. This is not Anthony Rizzo. This is not Chris Bryant, Jake Arrieta, Lester.
What is a guy like Theo Epstein, and what does he say to that? I mean, has he talked to the press about the idea of a player essentially sort of setting his own course?
It's funny you ask that, because the big issues, Theo's there. When it's an issue like this, Jed Hoyer's there. So Jed Hoyer showed up yesterday to Wrigley, and he talked for about 8 minutes, and he said all the right things. And they're good about not throwing players under the bus, even though he essentially abandoned the AAA Iowa Cubs by not showing up. Jed said he's on the temporary inactive list. There's no spectrum on the range. It could be a week, it could be a month, whatever. But then he also said at the end that this is more than just an issue of frustration. So I don't know if Tommy La Stella hit the bottle. I don't know exactly what happened, but this is seriously something that there's a reason he's not there. And he hasn't really communicated with a lot of people in the organization. So they're wondering where he is. Apparently, he's back home in New Jersey, like swinging at batting practice in the cage. He's not going to Iowa, though, which is where he was sent.
All right. And as I said, I mean, the Cubs have been pretty fortunate to have avoided drama like this all season long.
Except for when they traded for the domestic violence closer.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it seems like here we go where, I mean, how important is Tommy La Stella to the Cubs clubhouse? I mean, he's a fifth infielder. Is the teams are standing up to him, are standing up for him, Adam LaRoche style, or is it sort of like, wherever Tommy's at, we're winning games.
I think actually the Cubs have won 8 in a row since he got sent down, right? They're on an 8-game winning streak. They've won their last 8. They're 9 out of their last 10 wins to losses, so 9-1 last 10. I don't think they need Tommy La Stella. They are 29 games above .500. They're in first place without him. He's just a guy that Joe Maddon likes to use late in games because he's a really good pinch hitter. And he doesn't have a lot of options on the left side of the plate. So that's why he's valuable. He plays when Chris Bryant's tired. He plays when Javi Baez maybe has a thumb injury or something and he needs a day off. This is not a guy that's going to start when the Cubs are in October.
Let me ask you about Javi Baez, because at the beginning of the year, there was thought he'd be sort of a utility guy. He'd move around. I'm surprised, and injuries have played a big part of this. Now that Jorge Soler is back, does Javi Baez continue to get regular at-bats? Is he a guy who is in this Cubs lineup every single day?
Not every single day. He'll probably play 4 or 5 times a week, and this was something I actually asked Joe Maddon about in May. I said, can you afford not to have that glove in the diamond? Because that's one of the best gloves on the team. No matter how old he is or how long he's been up here, that is a flashy glove. He can play third, short, second. They played him in center. He's valuable late in games. And Joe does a lot of shuffling. He'll throw better gloves on the field in the 8th and 9th inning. So he does still kind of protect him from guys that he doesn't do well against.
But
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but ultimately, doesn't Javi Baez, isn't he the odd man out? If you go to a playoff game, don't you go Soler, Fowler, Hayward, Bryant, Russell, Zobrist, Rizzo.
Baez will play against every lefty. No, okay. He'll play against every left-handed pitcher. Now, there's more righties than lefties, both in life and in baseball, so you know that he's going to get less games than others. But here's what the Javi Baez thing is. Ben Zobrist is up there. I think he just turned 35. He's either 34 or 35. So the keys to second base for the Chicago Cubs in 2 years go to
Javi Baez.
So if you can teach a 23-year-old infielder to stay patient and, hey, you're not going to play 150 games, you'll play 90 or 100 until, you know, the contract moves on.
Now, and they want a Zobrist for the playoffs because he is patient, because he knows how to go up against a
Zobrist is a short-term. You'll have Ben playing at a high level this year, next year, probably not much longer after that. So you try and preach patience with a guy, even though he could probably start for the other 29 teams in the league.
All right, so let me ask you this. The Chicago Cubs are on a roll right now.
Eight in a row.
They're playing amazing baseball. Now, they did sweep the A's. They got the inferior
Anaheim Angels. I don't buy into that. You win eight in a row, it's a tough thing to do.
But I have to ask, I mean, because where they fell and sort of had their moments in June or in July had to do when they had to play some of the bigger arms. Again, the only Achilles heel I can think about for the Cubs team is when those power pitchers from the Mets or the Madison Bumgarners come to town and they shut them down.
Not a lot of teams can hit power pitchers for the record.
But they're the ones we're going to be facing in the playoffs.
Right.
We saw it happen last year.
There are a couple rotations that, you know, give you some doubt, namely the San Francisco rotation, the Washington rotation with Strasburg and Gonzalez and Max Scherzer.
Yeah, right.
Power arms are their weakness. And last year, you guys watched the games, you and Pete both, a lot of strikeouts. And their plan was in the offseason to bring in contact guys, Zobrist, good. Hayward, bad.
Yeah, but Hayward knows how to bat against those guys in a seventh inning of a playoff game.
He hasn't held a bat in about a year. He has been awful.
He's just waiting for the playoffs.
Okay. You said that, not me.
Okay, I'll be optimistic.
Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. So the other thing that I think is a big key to this has been the tail end of this rotation. Both Hamill tonight, who's shutting out the Angels through five yesterday. Kyle Hendricks is becoming the Cy Young candidate for the Chicago Cubs this year. Lackey, I mean, I saw a stat with their ERA. I mean, it's amazing. These guys are all just pitching lights out.
At home, all five starters have an ERA under three.
It's amazing.
Which
At Wrigley Field.
At Wrigley, right. And a lot of times you get the Wrigley day games, 90 degrees, wind blowing out 20 miles an hour. So it's tough to pitch at home. Hendricks has a 1.19 ERA at home, and then Lester and Arrieta are under two. So they all pitch well at home. They have 70 wins right now. They're probably going to get that home field advantage, I would imagine. They're going to win the division, even though Cub fans ask me all the time, are we going to hold on? It's like, you lead by 12 games in August. If you don't hold on, it's the biggest collapse of all time.
Right.
So they should be fine. And, you know, now the question is, you know, how do you position that rotation? But if I'm Joe Maddon, I am playing guys where they do well. And I am pitching Kyle Hendricks in game two at home.
Really?
100%. Would you rather have Kyle Hendricks at home in game two or Kyle Hendricks on the road in game three?
It's just tough when you have such guys
in front
of Lester.
I want John Lester on the road. I want Lester game three.
Wow.
On the road. Veteran.
Right.
World Series rings. He can win on the road. Hendricks,
Okay, so, you know, I joke with Pete all the time that baseball is one of these things where you're not really sure. There is no such thing as a trade deadline. Do the Cubs have any other moves they want to make before the end of the season? Obviously, here come the call-ups, September 1, but also with waivers and things of that nature. Do the Cubs have anything they want to sort of gear up before they get there?
I think they're done. They've added three arms at the bullpen: Chapman, Joe Smith, Mike Montgomery. Soler is essentially an addition from injured reserve or from the injury list or whatever you want to call it. And they're hoping, and maybe they might not admit this in public, but they're hoping, and you kind of hinted at it earlier, they hope Jason Hayward is an addition when we get to September and October. But as far as non-waiver moves, they're about done. Maybe they get a bench left-handed bat to replace
Tommy LaStella,
if he does retire. What an idiot. but if he goes, you got to find a lefty bat. But the major moves are done.
I'm excited. I mean, do you think, I mean, obviously the momentum, the winning 70 games, everything about this team is following the script of what it takes to win a World Series, especially when you go to the playoffs like you did last year, you don't quite make it, you come back, you're even stronger. I mean, for Chicago fans, and there's all this stuff about the curse, and there's all this stuff about, you know, that the Cubs never win anything, but this is almost like the tailor-made script for teams that win.
They were preseason favorites to win the World Series. They are favorites right now on August 10th. They have three of the better pitchers in the National League. They'll probably win about 100 games, which should give them home field. They hit a lot of home runs. They score a lot of runs, draw a lot of walks. All that math lines up for them making a push toward the end of October and getting closer to that elusive World Series championship. When was the last time they won it? I forget.
Yeah, this is
1908.
All right. Let's shift to football. Are you looking forward to this Bears team?
No. Right.
No?
What's there to look forward to?
Well, okay, the first preseason game tomorrow. We've been checking in camp report today that the camp's over.
Don't you love how the Bears guys are always, they're all amped up and jacked for 7-9 every offseason?
Well, you've covered the team. Yeah. I mean, they're the same kind of script. I mean, they were a 6-10 team, John Fox's first year. Do you expect improvement? Do you see? I mean, John Fox's career has shown that in the second and third year of his tenure, they usually will make the playoffs.
The defense will be a lot better, especially the front seven. And if the front seven, namely the defensive linemen and the linebackers, can put pressure on the quarterback, it makes the secondary better. So the defense should be a lot better. Akeem Hicks up front. They brought in some linebackers, Freeman, Trevathan. Defense will be fine. On offense, you lost Matt Forte, Martellus Bennett, Jeremy Langford. Can I buy a vowel? I mean,
well, what about Kevin White? Kevin White comes back.
Kevin White missed all of last season. Yeah, Kevin White hasn't played a game in the National Football League yet.
8 catches, 166, 2
touchdowns.
Alshon
Jeffrey doesn't know the difference between pain and injury, right? You know, he rolled an ankle. Oh, I'm going to miss 3 weeks. So I just don't know who Jay is going to give the ball to make plays in space. And then even if they are good, you've still got Jay, who likes to throw the ball to the other team in a big game.
Oh,
so,
man, you're just so down on this
because
team.
Because they suck. They haven't been good.
12-4.
When was the last time they made the playoffs?
That's
the Bears.
A great question.
When was it?
Was when Jay Cutler broke his knee in the
2010.
Championship, right?
What year is it?
That's pretty bad.
But you're happy about the Bears.
I'm happy because I'm an optimistic person. I believe in half full, not half empty. And I feel like at the beginning of the season, why would I be down on a team when I haven't seen them play yet?
That's fair. And it is a rebuild. So by the nature of what it is, when you bottom out last year, you should incrementally get better. They can win 9 games. They can win 10 games. They can be a wild card team. I don't like the offense. The line is already hurt. You're moving a guy who likes to punch his own teammates to play center. You know, he fought his teammates at Family Fest. Did you see that? He beat the crap out of somebody on Family Fest Day. So, there's a lot of moving parts. I don't like the offense. Defense, probably night and day from last year to this year. Still, probably a 8-9 win team that misses the playoffs.
Can I ask you, do you follow college football at all? I mean, are you paying attention to it? Is the Big Ten, I'm interested. I've been starting to see Coach Fitzgerald all over the place with Northwestern. They didn't have a bad season last year. Do you see the teams like the Northwestern Wildcats or even maybe the Illini with Lovie Smith having any sort of bump this year and surprising people?
The Lovie thing will help long term. He's a guy that'll bring in players over the course of 3 or 4 years. He's going to build a program.
You're already seeing it.
He's not going to build a team this year. He's going to build a program over 4 or 5 years, and that's what that is in Champaign. Northwestern, easy schedule last year. The two biggest games they had, they got crushed against Iowa, against Michigan. Yeah. Not close. So let's see them go closer to the top. Let's see them beat some better teams. But certainly, Northwestern can go to a bowl game. Illinois, maybe not this year, but don't count out what Lovie Smith is doing in Champaign.
And Sam, let me put you on the spot one more time since you're such the high school Last question, high school football. What can we expect?
Oh.
I mean, that's coming up, right? I mean, I was thinking about that today. I'm like, here comes high school football. Like in the next, 2-3 weeks, it's going to start.
Is it that soon?
Well, I mean, they go back to school next week
or
maybe even this week, right?
I'm still researching.
Who won it? Who was the big team last year?
In 8A, geez, I can't even remember.
You can't even remember. I mean,
no,
I know. Right?
Is that embarrassing?
It's not embarrassing, but it tells me that you got a lot of work to do in the next couple weeks.
Yes, that's true. I will be ready. Ask me that question next week, and I will have a scroll. I will write it in Brill Pen.
Sam Panionovich, WGN Radio Sports, breaking down the Cubs, football, and everything else we can think of. Sam, thanks for joining us.
See ya.